thing working?
I hope so, but it's got lights on.
This is something that Sabrina Oliver has come up with that does it all digitally and can store a lot of information and apparently has a real good pickup system. So we'll see how it works.
It's clean.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go through this on a section by section basis, so you're going to be reading while I'm talking. And the first little preamble before we start with the description of the proposed site, all we're doing is setting the table in terms of what we're doing. We're stating that the council approved in principle land as a developer that should be negotiated where the town council didn't approve their proposal in the sense that this is it, we're going to do this. It's approved conceptually that this was the right approach and now we're going to negotiate the terms. And what we want to do in this memorandum of understanding is cover all the business terms. Description of the proposed site is just a recitation at the bottom of the first page and continues over to the top of the next page as to where the land is and what we want to do to it, namely we want to redevelop. You'll notice it says the town is completed with the Wallisbeck site, Lot 5, or the balance, blah, blah, blah. The concept is you've got to do both of them, and I said here a couple of places. You can't do one project and not the other. We want to make sure there's no misunderstanding with them on that.
So before you go to the next section, in the first paragraph, should we mention the ERM? Is there any reason to mention the ERM?
Who's the right to negotiate?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's true.
Description of a proposed lot project. This is what the developer has proposed. First, they're going to do a 400-space approximate parking garage under Lot 5 and a portion of Church Street. And then, which is going to probably be the first issue that we're going to come up with them, would indicate it's going to be owned by the town and built according to the plans and specifications approved by the town. Their proposal has them owning the spaces that were associated with the retail and have us, in fact, giving spaces to the condo association people of the condo unit. The town really needs to own that whole deck. You don't want to have multiple owners in there. And we will solve that parking thing. You'll see that a little later on in another section where we just give a license to the developer that he could allocate some space to the retail and a license to the condominium units where they would have the right to use the space, provided they paid the pro rata share of the maintenance and so forth.
So why is it license? Why is that the term?
That's typically what you do with these things. You can either say you lease it or you license it, or you can. Yeah, those are typically we like to use the word license because that tends to make it mean that it's not an interest in real property, it's just a use right. And that can have some benefit down the road.
Okay.
So I've got a condominium in Charlotte and I've got a license to use a particular space and put some of mine is actually in my deed. And so that, anyway, that is at variance from what they actually had in there. The second is they're going to develop the three buildings and these square footages and the number of units right out of their proposals. We didn't change any of that. And it says that not less than 20% would be affordable housing. I think they said, John, 17 to
18% is what it ended up being.
I put it at 20% based upon our meeting a couple of weeks ago where I understood that was the town policy this may be an issue.
It was referred to in the RFP, if I remember right, that preferred.
Yeah.
The town policy is 15%, the council set 20% as a goal on this project.
What keeps Rand from coming back and saying, hey, it's 15%, I'm providing 18, that's where I stop? I'm just throwing out.
That's what I would do if I were him.
In the way you're planning to address here.
Yeah, and if you can get 20%, obviously the more the industry has an affordable, the more difficult it is for the bank on an economic deal.
Yeah. If I were them, I would wait until I saw how the numbers looked, and I might want to sort of argue, well, based on what we don't have, we can only afford to do 15%.
Yeah.
And then also, they're going to have to find out whether they can get the grant.
That's right. You're right.
And then item C is the construction up there. The
can I pause on that?
Absolutely.
They will not be able to find out whether they're going to be able to get a grant. All they'll be able to do is figure out whether or not a reasonable person would believe that they were going to be able to under certain conditions. They're not going to know for sure.
They're not going to know for sure, but I think that they can get a reasonable expectation.
Okay. So that should be sufficient for them.
Right.
And do we need a called acquisition if they don't get it? Do we need to have that spelled out?
I think that is something that they're going to find out pretty firmly between now and October 10th.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that they could get a fairly good answer.
But do we need a called acquisition in case they can't get it?
And I think the question is whether you would be willing to give up on the significant percentage of a foot and a half.
Yeah.
Is the simple answer, I think the answer is no. I think the affordable housing is a deal breaker for sure. I'm not saying right. Council wouldn't go 15%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it'll get down to, is if they can't get it, then they'll have a decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
The objective is to get this member and understand our data and get this signed up. We're not looking to sign this on October 10th. We want to sign this like in the next couple of sessions.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything you want to interrupt me on, feel free. Not bothering.
Okay, let me go back into A. This is going to be interactive, right?
Yes, interactive.
Right now, if I remember right, we have a developer designing and developing, constructing the 400 spaces. Is that very important?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to have to abide by any regulations for doing public facilities in the same
building.
Yeah, all that.
Public data. No, this is, and we've got a local act that allows us to do that.
Okay.
So yeah. Build this.
Can we reference that, or do we need to? Do we need to reference that, or?
No.
Okay. So let's go.
Not everybody has that.
Right. We do need to make sure they understand that, I suppose, somehow.
Yeah. And their attorneys would raise that one.
Yeah.
You know they're going to make a fee on that, right? You're clear.
Hmm?
They will make a fee on that.
I don't know what that means, John.
These numbers will be incorporated into the drone budget, and we'll take a fee. It looks like a percentage of that for their development too. I'm just reminding you.
But that's all
it's just come free.
That's in all the numbers we've been considering anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And item C is got them developing construction and do you see the word upfit? This is where we get into the stuff up on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only the hard surface, it's whatever it takes to upfit it, which we'll have to address.
Mm-hmm.
That number is their number, that 32,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that, I'm pretty sure, includes that back part that's going to be carved out, but that's really going to be one of the common areas and the common areas. So that'll have to be refined.
Well, you were aware the council had a very long conversation with them about that community use area.
Right. Because we're talking about J form, as I recall.
They should include those players.
So why would they include that in this paragraph?
No, we wouldn't.
Okay.
We would. But when it gets down to what the town owns, we're going to have to carve out. all of this would be approved plans sort of by the town.
But we want to own the open space.
My view is you would own the open space that's truly open that anybody in the world can go in. The one with controlled access is probably going to be owned by the condominium associations.
Mm-hmm. We don't have any description of who the owner is at this point.
Right. So
later. Okay.
And that would need to refine your level.
Right. We don't know exactly where it is.
And how it's going to play out.
All right.
Okay, so that's something that's got to be done. The town staff or Rand's team needs to calculate the square footage of the space.
It's their drawings. We need to reach agreement on what the limits are, and then they can do the calculation.
We need to know the
limited
common areas for the condos and what they intend to do.
Should that be an assignment for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we asked them that. They need to come forward with a proposal. Let's even look at it.
Yeah.
Let's make a list of, Chris, you want to do it? You want me to do it? Make a list of the things that are required of Rand.
Mm-hmm.
Next section is a description on the wall effect project. Obviously, this is fuzzy now. It continues with the concept that was in their original proposal that we would get about 50 additional parking spaces. I don't know whether that will change or not, depending on how they come up with it. How many spaces was Grubb going to present? For some reason, I thought both of them were right around 50. Okay, section B is going to be an unknown number of square feet of commercial retail space that will be on the Rosemary Street lot.
And let's talk about that. That reminds me, do we have a section here on the Rosemary Street lot, since that's separate from Wall Street?
Yes, it's defined up above. You'll see it's size of Rosemary Street lot and width of deck is from the Wall Street site.
It was actually recombined. At the time of the finance and the building, it's actually
on our side. So do we know the square footage or is that a problem?
Yeah, it's 29 acres.
Okay.
Depending on the number of parking spaces in this level, this half over here, we'll take about 60 to a day.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Where's he going?
If they add units here, we need to take into account the additional demand on the spaces that's going to create, because that would be a negative in some ways, unless they're going to replace them.
Right. And we don't know. Grubb had less units than Rand has in their original proposal.
Rick Herb at 60 and Rand at 91.
That's a big difference.
So somebody has to calculate the parking required for the proposed retail space and housing on Wallace-Deck and Rosemary Lot.
Now, I'm showing the retail commercial only on the Rosemary Street lot. Are we talking about any, do we think there's going to be any retail along the face of the garage?
I don't think it's a practical size, sure, either. It's all retail.
Okay. So the retail is all going to build on that corner lot.
Right.
And I'll need the foil for your money.
Unless you're going to the post office, which y'all were talking about. And C, we've got them constructing an unknown number of residential units above in the airspace above Wallace Deck and along the front of Rosemary Street. And again, we've got the 20% that would be affordable housing. And then D is kind of up in the air. This is construct such public space that the town developer mutually agree upon. And we met before, I think you all agreed the same. We don't know if we need to replace the public space there. And I think maybe you leave this in here.
I don't have one.
They have a little piece of it in the corner.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You also have this normal streetscape.
Yeah.
Which you want them to construct.
Should leave it in.
Leave it in and let's see what we come out.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, what did you just say?
Streetscape, not maybe that, but I thought maybe it worked from the bottom one in here.
Yeah. They're not gonna work over that. Sure they are. They're gonna have to build the sidewalk and put in the street trees and whatever.
That's normal. That's standard in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's normal and ordinary. We don't do that for anybody's town.
Except for the sidewalks.
That's right.
I'm gonna ask streetscape, I didn't have it in there. Then the next thing is financial investment by the town of Chattanooga. Another brother, the executive is, who had an absolute fixed amount. This is all we're gonna put in, there is no more, this is all the money you get from the town. And always a blank. And the idea would be that we would pay them X dollars to build us the parking deck, parking garage, on lot 5 and whatever number of square footage that there is. And we would pay them a lot of dollars to build the additional 50 spaces over on the Wallace Tech site. And those improvements that they built would be owned by the town. When I redraft this, I'm going to have a blank number of square feet of public space on lot 5, because this is what we would own, and it clearly would be the full 35,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a blank that we'll own.
And why do we want to own the 50 additional spaces in Wallace Tech?
And I don't think we want them owning anything for two reasons. One, you get into the problem of allocating operating expenses and all that. But secondly, I think the bank's going to want to lean on that because it's going to be an integral part of that project. And we're asking them to give up the air rights and the roadway street lot. And secondly, down the road, the town is set to pull up something if they want to change the use of that.
And why would they put the term fixed aggregate and just an aggregate fixed amount? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's the intent.
Yep.
Now, one of the tensions is going to be, and I can hear this coming back, wait a minute, you guys have now approved a lot for everything in the world, and you come in there and say the only way we're going to approve this is if you use a certain type of brick, which is going to cost 40% more than any other kind. If you want to do that, then you've got to kick in some extra money. And you're going to have out, it's kind of like a change order.
Worse than that, construction cost increases.
Exactly. Their costs go up on our approval price. And we had that issue on the arena in Charlotte, and where there the city was paying for it, and if the team read approval rights, did something to cover the cost, we increased their pay. And we've had them pay up now probably 10 to 15 million of additional funds that they wanted, and they paid it out of their own pocket. So that's how you solve the issue with this. Something to be prepared, and it's logical. Like you guys, the town says we got to have this, and it's going to raise the construction costs. Then you're going to have issues.
Well, what's the baseline? When do we establish the baseline?
And before October 10th. This is putting a premium on two things, and to me, one is. We've got to approve their conceptual things, but certainly they've got to have really good estimates.
Right.
And you've got bottom of going over all their numbers and his experience, but it's not going to be just not one group of people.
Well, is it necessary to actually fix the amount in the MOU, or just say that in this MOU that it's going to be a fixed amount, and we'll set that amount in the development?
I think that's where you're going to end up. But I think at this point, you're going to be fine. Please, yeah.
Of course, a lot of information is good, it's made out of. You're going to want to know what the papers are in the public space kind of thing.
I don't know if you can get to that level of detail. I don't think you can.
Well, those are with budget numbers, and if I come up with a material selection that puts it over the budget, it's a complaint.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how people proceed. It's not a great way to proceed, but it's what people use.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of budget numbers here.
Yeah. So we'll argue that budget number based on quality.
Right.
I mean, the optimal levels.
That's going to put some work on us if they come up with a set of numbers for unit costs, and we want to make sure that we feel they're adequate. That's going to put some burden on us.
So they'll do things like they'll identify areas where they're going to use concrete with special treatment, and we'll say, no, we want pavers there, and we want the pavers to be made out of concrete, and we want them to be colored. And we'll reach agreement on that, and then they'll have an allowance for it. If we come back later on and say, well, you know, we changed our mind. Instead of concrete pavers there, we want Spanish tile on top of something, and that'll be different. Is that kind of thing you're getting?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's just a dollar figure, and you have to decide if the dollar figure is adequate or not. I mean, it's one of the way people love all things. It's lower.
So if you've got retaining walls that are showing on one side, and you originally agreed to score concrete poured in place, and you come back later on, you want a brick face on it, and you have to pay for the brick face. So I have to be careful in thinking through things like that. If we've got 38 tree wells and we want to double that, as long as we agree on it up front and agree on what caliber of trees and what character of trees, then we're okay. If we come in later on and want to do that, then we got to pay for it. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Glenn?
That's what I think you'll end up.
So he's going to evaluate for us.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll do that in 4 feet.
Evaluate in which
regard? Well, then the number is radical.
We don't have anybody on our staff who's capable of doing that at this kind of scale on a reasonable schedule. Because we don't do this kind of work.
No, I can totally imagine we don't. But there are a lot of people who do it.
John, I was in the MOU for tomorrow. Would you rather change that to give a fixed amount and then mutually agreed upon between the town and the developer? And will be incorporated in the.
Well, they're one of, otherwise, they'll want to qualify as one of the word fixed.
Well, okay, I'm
going to use that one. Would work.
Okay.
What else did I write myself is do we have approval rights of building specs at the development agreement stage, CD, RCDD? Schematic design, first round of detailed design, and then design development, which is the next phase after schematic design.
And you've got approval rights for all those things, and that's just opportunities where the cost can go up or down.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to catch them now as early as possible.
John, at some point, does this process envision that they would go back to their construction contractor or estimator and get a refreshed estimate of costs?
We'll do that for every round of design drawings.
And so if we make decisions about pavers and trees and quality finishes and things like that, where we might have a cost exposure, those costs would show up at that point. Okay. And that'd be available before we sign the deal.
Well, see, I don't think they're going to Well, they won't even get the SD schematic design before October 10th, that's for sure.
So it'll be unknown.
So it'll be unknown. That's why I'm saying maybe you have an approval right that says we look at it, whatever they have, whatever level of detail they have, we want to see it before October 10th.
Okay.
Again, it emphasizes at the end of that paragraph on our financial investment that they have to do with projects. It just can't be one. Hey, next.
Where's the statement?
Below the.
Right above the.
Hey, where the word "and" is underlined, lot 5 and the law is dead.
The next section on lease of property lines, this is where we set out pretty much what I went through with you all at the last meeting on how they were going about developing this property. And that first thing we in the town would condominiumize lot 5. So that you could have multiple uses and multiple owners. One of the units would be the subterranean area under lot 5 and Church Street, which would be a separate condominium unit, which I call the parking garage unit. And then we would have a footprint of each of the buildings up to the top of the first floor. That would be three more condominium units, which are called retail units. And then finally, we're going to take the airspace on the top of retail, however how many stories you can fit that block of the residential units. And in the subterranean condominium unit, they would build a parking deck and the town would own that. We would lease to them the three retail condominium units. Again, that's a block of airspace that forms a footprint to the top of the ceiling. We would lease that to them for 40 years. And in that airspace, they would build a retail commercial. Then we would take from the top of the retail up to the very top of where the residential would be. That block of airspace would be leased to them for 99 years. They would subcondominiumize that, and that's where they would build the residential units. Possible issues here, you'll see that all the lease, all the rent has been left alone. They proposed a rent of, help me John, $225 a square foot.
$250.
We left that blank because that's something that you can pick up some dollars. The 40 years on the retail conforms to what was in their proposal. So I view them as having already agreed to 40 years, so there shouldn't be an issue on that. They wanted to not, there's a provision there in their proposal that they can buy the retail out, meaning they would buy the rent of the lease, not the fee, but buy out the lease so they wouldn't have to pay rent. And they did it on the basis of an 8.75 cap rate applied to the base rent and adjusted by CPI in a year of sale. And we made two changes in that scenario. Number one, we've got a lockout in that they can't purchase that retail until the 10th year.
They asked the option rate, right?
They didn't sell. It was floated. It's assumed in the projections, though, that it was in the 10th year. So we put that
I did it by the we did it. What they do, I forgot.
They did the same thing.
Right.
Now, they might want that lockout left, but it seems, just from the town standpoint, if you want them invested there for a period of time, whether it's to me the range of 7 to 10 years, is a lockout.
But explain that a little bit, Glenn, if you don't know.
I would not want them flipping the retail in the second year, being gone, and we're left there. I like 7 years because a look at that space will probably have an initial term of 5 years, and will be up for re-leasing. And so I would like them, I'd like them there at least through the first term of leasing.
So you don't get to stabilize this operation until year three, you think?
Yeah. So 7 to 10 years seems like a reasonable lot of time. There's no hard answer.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. The developer will be granted an option to purchase the remaining term of the original 40-year lease. That means they can buy themselves out of it and walk away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
So when they were quit paying the $225, $250 a month.
Yeah, right after the check.
Right.
They would then, in fact, you would take, you apply the cap rate to the base rent, and you come up with the number, and that's what they would pay us for the remaining 30 years.
And your question is, well, who then would...
Okay, so then they'd sell it to somebody else.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so, the net effect to people at the street level is zero.
Zero.
Yeah, okay.
The town, under their estimate, using their cap rate and using their base rent, the town would get almost $900,000 on lot five. It's a little less than $900,000. They wanted to use a fixed cap rate of 8.75. Sean had a great idea. We used language that said it was a competitive cap rate for the Chapel Hill area region. At the time of sale, and there's a website that you can visit to give you an estimate of what cap rates are. Right now, cap rates on retail are absurd. And they're 4.5 to 6.
And you don't have a clue what it's going to be in year 7.
Maybe 18, we don't know.
Right.
It's okay.
And the very last part of that subparagraph B says that he refinances it. And this, typically, he's going to get a construction loan, or what we call a mini-perm loan. Mini-perm loan is provided the construction funds, and you can use it for 2 to 3 years. Before you have to refinance it. And typically a developer creates value through the development process, gets the rent in there, gets stabilized by the third year, and then they go back and refinance it. We would allow them to do that one-time refinance because their initial financing is short-term. But after, like, say, 7 years, they come back in and refinance it and want to pull out a couple $1 million. The theory, this was in the RFP, we want to participate in that to some degree. You pull out your money, then we want a piece of that. And I refer to that as a clawback in this context.
A clawback?
Yeah.
there's a whole other thing.
That's the terminology that you use in private equity and venture capital deals when you sell your company and you get so much money for it and something doesn't go right, and it's a clawback to your reputation.
Clint, is it necessary for us to define the net?
Not at this point. Yeah. But it will be in the thing. Net means...
No, I know what it means.
You know, and I know, they'll know, but then we're going to spell it out in the actual agreement. In other words, if they have $1 million loan, you pay that off, they're going to have costs in terms of doing the refinancing, and you get down to really what they're going to do. Okay, subsection C there.
So would you remind yourself to add that later?
In the development agreement, the actual agreement. Subsection C describes that this is going to be a 99-year air rights lease for the residential condominiums. Again, they accepted that. 99 years is primarily a marketing issue, whether or not you can sell a 99-year quote ground lease for a condominium in Chapel Hill. I can't tell you. There's been real problems selling them at the... We did this continued campus of interstate, which is 99 years, and there's been a lot of resistance to that.
I'm
just
resident.
Yeah. And I'll find out how they sold those kind of stuff. But on the other hand, that needs to come with the market under here.
That's true.
that's on campus, state property.
This is more than one.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, you're right, it's,
And my recollection was there's a whole lot more units in America than there were, much more desirable. I won't get into the statement. There's lots of things that kind of avoid that.
So, in other words, the residential component is something that hasn't worked out?
No, it's worked out, it's just been slow.
Well, it's a different issue.
Again, when I rerun this thing tonight, I'm gonna take out all the dollar references. There's no dollars in here. Same thing, now, they got a 99-year lease, and they pay the rent on that upfront. That's the money that we need to build the parking lot.
Right.
Okay, we get additional rent equal to a percentage of the proceeds from the sale of residential condominiums, particularly affordable housing ones, in excess of what they suggested, a 15% return on cost on the condo units. So, if 15% return is $1 million and they sell them and they realize $2 million, we can get 20% of that $1 million. Again, I'm going to leave both those numbers blank, 20% and 15%.
They proposed the 15, right?
They proposed the 15, and they proposed the 20.
And again, the definition of net in this case.
This is where, from a definitional standpoint, is first you're going to have to allocate cost to the units. And that means you're going to have to get into breaking down that $4 million or whatever it is, rent between the regular condominium units and the affordable condominium units. You're going to have to break down your construction costs that way. But I would think that that was, if you did it all pro rata, it should work. And that would be, my sale price is $200,000, and I pay a 6% commission, you take that off, and if I had some other expense in there, to get down to actually what they get. Just like selling that.
Right, no, I understand. I just wonder with the,
the cost allocation is going to be difficult, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is it's easy to gobble up net with cost, you know, development costs, et cetera, that may not show up in a single house deal.
Right. And where are they going to allocate their overhead?
Exactly, because they're, I mean, you know, the condominiums represent X percentage of the entire deal versus the retail, the common fashion, all that. I mean, at some point it needs to get spelled out pretty clearly where that right. is and what we're getting 50% of, excuse me, 20% of.
And to make it clear, all the costs associated with the underground parking that belongs to us are included.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to do with this. I think you're still going to have that now.
I mean, it's to their advantage to keep everything above the line that they can.
Sure.
Hey, I'm hungry. I don't want to get in. I don't want the towns having to do all this on RAM.
No.
How do we protect ourselves in that? I thought about that.
Yeah, you wanted to use the return on the cost because that was, you called an industry defined term. So the idea would be we would put the return on the cost and then define it under the industry standard in the purchase agreement.
That's right. So that would help us to also move and avoid them doing more.
Right. Okay, subparagraph D, which is again on the ground lease for Rosemary Street lot, 40 years, rent blank. Otherwise, this is all the same as above. Everything else, Rosemary and Lot Five is the proposal. What
were Judge Buckner called me a few days ago and acknowledged that he knew we were just beginning these discussions and we're not sure exactly where we'd end up. Said that at least for 2 years they had a strong interest in continuing the operation of the courthouse. because they thought it'd be about that long before they could occupy new space in Hillsboro. And said they'd be eager to find out what our intentions were and would do everything necessary to be fully cooperative with the council. It just wanted us to know what his interests were.
Courthouse is in the place on the steps. The straightened comment from a legal standpoint, I view this as very critical. This is where you're going to try to control the future as much as you can through the restrictive covenants, and also to address Frank Marcelli's concern about who lives in these units. The first concept is that the restrictive covenants would be put on by the town before anything else is done. They're going to be superior to everything in the world. They're going to be superior to the financing of the lender. It's going to be superior to the condominium hospitals. And they're not going to be like the residential restrictions. What they're going to do is try to address these things. One, impose maintenance restrictions so that you can be comfortable or reasonably so that those buildings are going to be maintained at a certain level so that they're still there 50, 60, 70 years from now. I'm not sure how you're going to do that, but that's what the intent is. Secondly, you want to have some say-so in the retail space, and this is a good fundamental way to do that. In terms of one of the concerns that y'all raised last time, that Sally raised, was making sure that you didn't have a bunch of students in there, or more importantly, some of the less alumni that never enter the door except for main things. And so we did some research, and there's an North Carolina case that shows what the public did. You can restrict the right to lease it. That's not a problem. And so we would, the typical restriction is you can't lease it for a term of less than a year. So you do away somewhat with temporary housing. The other thing, which there are cases in Florida that so you can do this, is that you can basically limit it to an age group. And the one that's most common is seniors only.
Sure. Well, this is for seniors.
This is for seniors in there.
That's retirement home.
And then the age I stuck in here is just arbitrary, 23. Clearly, that's not going to be much for graduate students. I mean, you're going to get a lot of graduate students involved for that. And then also trying to say that it would be permanent full-time residents. That whole concept would be easy to put in if Rand will agree to it, and you can monitor their sales to see that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But you go down two or three sales down the road, you're not going to be able to follow it. So the enforcement of the thing 15 years from now is going to be difficult.
And would that impose a reporting requirement?
You would impose a reporting requirement on the condominium association, and you would put a per diem penalty, which our courts have upheld.
Mm-hmm.
So that if it's violated, there's a per diem charge. But beyond that, you're getting totally an area that's not been heard in our courts.
But the 23 years old part, you can count on holding up.
We don't know that. We know the 55, and of course in Florida, said age restrictions are appropriate, but they've also had cases where you can't have children. And as a fact, the commuting process in Charlotte cannot have children. Whether the 23 would work or not, I can't tell you that. So of course, but there's enough authority in some other jurisdictions that have had more experience with condominiums than we have It would seem to say that you could do that.
Well, so do we challenge an 18-year-old that wanted to buy one and his pick condominium association?
Well, they would put the restricted covenants and we restrict the title to the condominium.
Correct. They come to the town.
They go to the town.
Yeah. I would turn it to them.
So you can put these in the condominium declaration, but the condominium owners can amend those. The way you get it there is to have something that's down below that and superior to those. And that means the town would be the one that would be shot at. Now, how it would come up would be the alumni that wants to buy one for his son and proposes to title it in his son's name, or alumni proposes to buy it for himself and not live there full time, but
right. Have
his son in there. I mean, the things that you...
Well, you could buy it for yourself and then lease it to yourself.
Yeah.
And?
For a year.
For a year at least, which really would stop too many people. Mm-hmm. Maybe a way around it. But it's interesting to me that I don't understand why the 23 years of age would follow after several buyers, but the full-time resident in Chapel Hill would.
That would be there. It'd just be hard.
Harder to pull.
It's hard to pull.
See, I don't have enough information that easily obtained. I was going to say typically to find full-time resident.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we may be going overboard on that one. Because we might be finding somebody who owns an apartment in Boca Raton and an apartment here, but they choose to have Florida as their residence for tax reasons.
Which means they're there 6 months and one day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they're not claiming Chapel Hill is their
full-time resident. Yeah.
And it's a matter of how far you all want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is the concept is we want full-time residents who will be interacting in the city and that they'll be liking to have there.
Well, and really, we don't feel like we want to build the housing. We don't want to do the Monaco dorm, which is essentially, it's not our function.
Both of us, we want passion, but we want people living downtown.
Right, year round. Right, exactly. I mean,
And we'll start here and see what Rand says.
Another thing you see is that I said 80% of what's left, so it'd be 20% you can remain at home. And then somebody's going to ask the question, what happens when somebody is there and they're going to full-time residents and it's such a professor and they're going to go to NYU to teach for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would allow them. They can ask more questions and we can come up with answers.
Sure,
got it.
Well, I mean, just to sort of carry the game further, can you make it, you can't lease it to... I mean, you say you can't lease it to a relative, because that's the way people get around this is leasing it to a kid.
How does that get around it?
Well, if you say you can't lease it to, I don't see how you could do that. You can't lease it to a relative. I mean, it's just more rules than a real reason. There's just not allowed to do that.
Well, what will then happen is alumni A will buy this one, alumni B will buy this one, and they'll cross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People are genius.
Well, especially when they come and get educated and are fine. You know, all that kind of stuff there. But this is a start, and it's really going to be interesting to see what Rand's reaction is, because whatever their sort of market analysis, how dependent that is on students. Because I remember when John first came back with the market analysis that said that rental housing would go great. You know, I know a great deal of that was based on student housing.
Right.
But from what I hear, this isn't the only residential project that's being contemplated downtown right now. So.
That condominium is back on
Preston Street.
Yeah, that's the one I know. I heard just sort of vaguely about a couple others in Sweden, these two.
Yeah.
So. It's not just us who makes it.
I think every college town has condominiums. You find people buying their kids to live in one of them for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 8 years. It can be a whole thing.
Yes, no, I agree.
Glenn, why did you exclude the formal housing units?
The formal housing units will automatically be full-time residents.
Under occupied.
Right. So you don't have the age, and no age is on them, okay. That is harder to sell. Okay.
I just felt like the affordable housing, I mean, they have some young people in there.
You said one thing that maybe Rick came up with and I don't think we discussed before, you said these to be secure to everything, but maybe one of that, we don't really talk about the property tax issue here. And I guess we'll all understand what that is in terms of what air rights and what's going to be subject to property taxes and what's going to be town owned and exempt from property taxes.
The units clearly subject to property tax. All the improvements are clearly subject to property tax. My understanding of the state of law is that if my understanding is even if it's owned by the town, it's a long term lease, it's subject to property tax.
So the underground deck and public open space would not be taxed.
No, that's
everything else
would be taxed.
Yeah.
It's an interesting negotiating point, though, but we're asking for maintenance. We made the public space not taxable.
No, the condo public space wouldn't tax.
I understand.
Yeah.
They're going to be getting the benefit of the public space and not having to pay taxes on it.
Or the improvements.
And that's a real good argument in favor of them having to maintain it.
Ron, you have any thoughts on this restricting the occupants from purchasing?
Oh, well, I think it's going to be a land issue. It's going to be how people are going to weasel their way around.
Well,
none of us are smart enough to figure out how to weasel their way around.
If I were him, I wouldn't like it. It would take some walking.
Yeah.
It's going to be an added cost to them, and it's going to create problems for them.
But that we were very clear, and they accepted it. I don't think it's going to be a...
I think it's something we need to pursue from our point of view. I mean,
I'm not sure that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I still like Bill's idea of a co-op board. I just think
Well, I don't know what.
A co-op board.
Co-op has hired some little old ladies with
the instant co-op.
Would you all agree with is we would rather have the buildings occupied than have them not occupied by old people? We'd rather have, if we had a choice and had to trade it all, because a 23-year-old and there's a resident on a permanent basis is better than having a 50-year-old who lives there 3 weekends a year.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. We don't want student housing, but there's some. I don't know what they're going to say tomorrow, but there's some thinking about it.
So is this occupancy issue, you have that in some type of a memo form for sale?
Sure.
Have you heard it for sale?
No, I haven't.
You think, will you be able to do that? Is it?
Well, I can. I haven't talked about it. She just wants to know what the legal basis, and I'm not sure what her concern is.
Right, well, I'm not sure exactly what her concern is, but she's a committee member, and I don't want to have her unhappy with this, and then we're back.
You need to get there by their out. Okay.
So it'd be helpful to communicate with her if at all possible.
Just get there by.
There should be a certain amount of not our target occupancy, no matter what we do. There's going to be kids living there. There's going to be people who use it for football, and that's.
And no matter how high you make the price, a lot of people will pay whatever it takes to find out.
Exactly. I mean, it'll be a Seattle purple place, the way it's called.
he's going to call it the condominium.
McCorkle Place.
He's already sold it off. Yes.
We did look at building doing a co-op, and you can have absolute control there. The problem is that control is vested in a board, and the board is the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't control who the zones is going to be down the road.
You can't just make it the council?
No.
Also,
it's
difficult to find a specific co-op.
Probably for that one, the one, the, I know two or three, and the ones I know always used to start at well over $1 million.
Right. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. There's some people right.
And there's no financial money in those.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I don't think you're allowed to pledge the co-op as security for the loan.
Uh-huh.
So if that's the case, then yeah, that really wouldn't work here. I imagine.
But what you pledge as an individual for the loan is what's called a proprietary lease.
And interest in the
which is an interest in your lease rights in that individual unit. But the foreclosure rights for the financial institutions are pretty limited, and most of the ones you see in New York, they don't allow any debt on.
Right, so, that, yeah. So in other words, it's up to the individual to
figure it out.
Yeah. And if you have trouble with that, we don't want you in our building.
Exactly. After these $22 million, let me see that.
There's a co-op smoke about five.
Okay, the next section, Man of Town's investment, again, is a fixed amount, and we're going to have that as usual agreed in the development agreement. And we're calling whatever that is the town investment. And there's two things now happen. Between now and October 5, if you look at the top of page 6, I the top. Those are sort of, those are due diligence items that we want to be comfortable with. That's number one, that we really are convinced that the developer has the financial capacity to do this thing. And if we get any little indications that they're not, then you've got a problem. The second is we want to make sure that there's no question of all the construction risks, and that cost overruns, increase in equipment costs, construction costs, labor disputes, all that falls on them, not on the town. So those to me are fundamental things in terms of protecting the town.
And you don't really need to specify public and private components.
No. It's just they when we call them the project, that is what the public and the private aspects of it.
Okay. And instead of financial capacity, can we be stronger and be more specific and say something like letter of intent or on the construction loan or letter of intent on equity or
we can have them provide a letter of intent on that. They ought to be able to get something from the bank. Maybe it's a squishy thing at this stage.
I know, but the more specificity, the better.
Okay.
And I'm just as interested in equity as I am in the construction loan.
Yeah.
To me, the equity is tough to come by in a loan these days.
And the idea of the first two things is try to get that comfort level